Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Larry Pape with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. I'm doing great. Good morning to you as well.
Now, you're sitting somewhere in your hidden man cave with a fishing pole, I'm sure.
And I got to admit, I've already been out fishing this morning. I went out before light and caught bluegill, green sunfish, and rock bass. Three species already today, Rick.
Very good. Rock bass are fun. We have several of the local interstate lakes out here that have good populations of rock bass in them, and they're a blast to go catch. They're scrappy little fighters. So,
you know, they really are, and if most people don't know, I'm actually in the Lincoln area, and they're rare for us, but we have them in one lake, and we did that just because, you know, to make them, because they are unique. They are beautiful, with that bright red eye.
Tell everybody your title.
I'm an education specialist for the Fisheries Division of Nebraska Game and Parks Commission.
And de facto owner and whatever of operator, chief design
engineer.
Yeah, chief design engineer for the community fishing program. How are things going with that? Are you guys loosening up a little bit as far as what you can do, getting out from under some of the COVID restrictions?
Hugely so. That's why I'm so excited. Yes, we're going to be doing community fishing programs. I mean, we're going to be careful. We've caught a few of them, like Corporama, unfortunately, because they're just a little too close quarters. But we're going to be doing a full slate of like 70 of them statewide. Being careful, masking when required and doing all the other sanitary precautions. But we're up and going.
Very good.
We're excited.
Now, explain to everybody that's listening exactly what the Community Fishing Nights program is all about.
To make it simple, and it is simple, we supply the equipment, the bait, and the expertise to help anybody who wants to learn how to go fishing to go fishing. So we pull up to a lake with our fishing trailer and invite the public to come out and learn how to fish. We have learner tackle, we help supply the bait, and we teach people how to put the bait on and hook fish. So it's really that simple.
And no cost to anybody that wants to participate.
There's no cost to anybody that wants to participate. The only thing we have to abide by is that anybody who's 16 or older who wants to actively fish is required to have a fishing permit. But that means that if parents are just helping their children, they can help them without a fishing permit.
Okay. I wondered where that fine line was between fishing and not fishing, but very good.
What we say is if a person can cast, set the hook, and retrieve it, they're fishing. And anything on the front side or the back side of that, cheering and in between, is considered helping and doesn't need a fishing permit.
Very good. Now, you said you're going to have a pretty full slate of events this summer. Any out our way?
Oh, yeah. We've got quite a few around the McCook and North Platte area. And Arnold. And if you want to go a little bit farther, I'm looking at the list here, Holdridge. So, yes, we've got a full slate of them in that area. Quite a few. Actually two in the North Platte area. And then that one in Arnold's not too far away.
No. Is that going to be up at the Arnold's Lake up there?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And I haven't visited recently, but I heard it was kind of restored and looks really nice now. Yeah.
I was up there not too long ago. The Game and Parks actually sold, bequeathed, whatever. The Arnold State Rec area is now owned by the city of Arnold, and their local group has taken it over. And when I was up there last, they've really done some nice work. They're including some electrical for campers and stuff. It's a nice little lake. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how many acres it is, 6-7 acres, non-power boating only, you know, great for kayaks and canoes, but it's got some good fishing in it. And that, go ahead.
And that's what I was led, you know, and that's what I was told. And a fellow, a volunteer of mine from that Arnold community area named Olson, Mr. Olson, contacted me and said, hey, we're proud of this and we want to do a family fishing event. So on June 12th, let me look at this. Let me correct that. It's on June 10th. And from 6 to 8 that evening, they're going to be doing one of our community fishing programs right there in Arnold.
That would be a great spot. The only potential negative I could see is they still need to do some work on some of their roads. If it's going to be raining, it may be a mud-a-thon as well. So bring your four-wheel drive.
Yes.
How long have you been doing this, Larry?
Oh, gosh. We started these community fishing programs in about 2006 and been pretty consistent in building them over the years. We started out, I think that first year was like just two or three in the Lincoln, Omaha area, and we're up to about 70 statewide now.
Excellent. And as you mentioned, you guys have a trailer, and you can't miss it. If you're looking for the community fishing night, look for the trailer that's got all the fishing stuff on the side of it, all the pictures and graphics and whatnot. When you get there and set up, what's the procedure when you set up for a night?
So the trailer that you have in the North Platte area has 50 fishing poles that are set up and ready to fish as soon as they open the door. And, I mean, they have a bobber, a weight, and a hook on them and literally can hand them off and put some bait on it and you're ready to go. So when a person shows up at those, they'll see that the people are ready. They have to show up and, you know, just say hi and, talk about what level they want help for fishing. And the people, the volunteers, will then, you know, if they need assistance baiting and casting instruction, the volunteers will help them do that. If they just want to grab a pole and they have some experience and take their kids out and do it, you know, we'll be hands off and let them do that. So the person just needs to walk up, smile, and say, I want to go fishing. It's that simple.
I've had a chance of getting involved as a volunteer for that a couple times, and it's a blast. I don't know who has more fun, the people fishing or me watching them learn how to fish. But I've been to both extremes as far as, like you said, some of them you just hand a rod to and they're good to go on their own. Others, and it's usually a single parent scenario, and they've come in, the kid wants to fish, they know nothing of how to do it. And those are the ones I enjoy the most because we're really starting a lifetime activity at that point.
I completely agree. You know, I tell friends of mine and our volunteers, if you, whatever kind of day you're having, if you come to a family fishing event and you grab a mom or a dad whose, you know, child wants to fish and they catch a fish, I guarantee you will make your day better, probably make your week and month better. It's just an incredible feeling helping people accomplish that.
I can't think of anything more fun at the moment than watching a kid catch his first fish. It's just... Yeah. Lots of squeals and lots of laughing, lots of smiles. I hear music in the background, which tells me that Tristan is wanting to do a couple commercials. So if you stay with me, Larry, I got a few more questions and we can talk about the program. And with that, folks, stay with us. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Diversity Office, University of Tennessee, has been on a roll. They told students to avoid religious-themed holiday parties like Christmas parties. They told the students to stop using pronouns like he and she so as not to offend transgendered students, however few of them there are. It seemed that nobody could stop the Diversity Office from enforcing this left-wing claptrap. Well, some conservative lawmakers in the state had enough. They offered a bill to strip the Diversity Office of $500,000 money. Without operating funds, the Diversity Office radicals might get the hint they'd gone too far. Now, these conservative lawmakers operated out of intelligence guided by experience. They knew that whenever funds are cut, liberals raise a stink. So as lawmakers cut the $500 million for the diversity office, they redirected the money into scholarships for minority students. In addition to reining in the out-of-control diversity department, these conservative legislators also took care of something else. In recent years, students at the university have held an annual sex week. Now, you can guess what that's all about. So the bill bans the university from spending any money promoting sex week. By not signing or vetoing the legislation, Tennessee's Republican Governor Bill Haslam allowed the bill to become law last Friday. There's a lesson here for Republicans in Congress. Use the power of the purse. Deny the left the money. It works when you try it.
It's Stump the Chumps on Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham and TJ of the Minnow Bucket, where they open up the phone lines and let you determine the topics and the flow of the show. It's your chance to call in and put their outdoor knowledge to the test, or maybe your own. Phone lines open up in the KODY studios once a month on Friday at 8:30. So have your questions ready, and if you can stump the guys, you might even win a prize. Keep listening to Outdoor Connection on KODY.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Skies will become mostly sunny here for today with a high into the mid-80s. Breezy winds out of the southeast of 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 35. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 62. Saturday, a slight chance for showers and storms here late, mostly cloudy skies, and we'll see high around 82. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Back to the KODY studio for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by TJ and the crew from the Minnow Bucket at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Here's Rick Windham.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Larry Pape this morning with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission Community Fishing Nights Program Director. I look at that, what you do, Larry, and it can't be a job. You're just having too much fun.
I hope my bosses aren't hearing, but I won the lottery. I do this for free, and I look forward to the day when I retire and I come back and volunteer.
When you do an event like this, how long? It's generally in the evening, and about what time frames? How long do they run? That type of thing.
Well, we like to have them during the weekday evenings, generally because, you know, most people are busy on the weekend with other stuff. And they just generally run from about 2 hours, usually 6 to 8. And we run long. I mean, we do 8 o'clock so we can clear out before it gets dark. But generally we'll stay if families are having a good time. So starting at 6, you know, ending at 8-ish, kind of like that.
That works. I know a couple that I've been involved in out here, we ran a little long, and that was just because the people were having fun. One of the things I really like about the program is not only do you have the equipment there and you have people there to kind of help them get along, but your volunteers are knowledgeable enough to actually help people learn about it, and they can teach them how to do it right. That's a great thing. How do you come up with your volunteers?
I don't know. I get lucky. We advertise. We do programs, training programs, several times a year. And we just, you know, advertise for that. And then we just make sure that they're comfortable and enjoy what they're doing and give them plenty of opportunities to enjoy it. You know, it's me with about 300 of my best friends across the state who actually make this program happen. And I can honestly say they are my best friends. I know most of them, and I, you know, just like you, dude, you're one of them, and I love you dearly.
So. Appreciate that. Thank you. I got to meet one of your other good buddies, friends, and organizers last time you were through here, and we went out and tried to rid a pond of Northern Pike.
But, we didn't see any of those, but we caught a few bass, or he caught a bass, I guess, didn't he?
Next time you're out here, we'll go try that again. I haven't heard that the northern pike were so vicious with the duck population this year, but I'm sure they'd still want us to get it out of there for them.
Well, whatever excuse they want us to come out for, we'll do it, right?
That's right. Matter. That's right.
That was fun.
Of the ones you've done, do you have any real memorable moments that stand out that were fun or you enjoyed just watching?
Ooh. Yeah, you know, we started doing Carporama here in Lincoln, you know, years and years ago, you know, almost, heck, 18 years ago now. But when we started doing those in North Platte, up out Lake Maloney, and it just, that one just seemed so organically nice. You know, everybody's sitting on that one area and underneath the trees and then bringing their fish up to have them fish printed and, you know, eating the fish that we were cooking and cleaning. I just always, I really, really enjoyed coming out there for that. I regret that we can't have it this year, but we will be back next year.
Bummer.
So, memorably, you guys have helped me along. That's one of my favorites.
No Carporama. Bummer. That is a fun one. And
yeah, we'll be back next year, I promise.
I think, you know, a lot of people look down upon carp. Or I should say, and you've probably noticed this in your travels too, Larry, there are certain places where there's one species of fish that seems to be the king and then other species of fish that rate slightly above trash. And in this part of the state, yeah, carp, unfortunately, has got that trash moniker hung on it. They're a heck of a good fighting fish.
Oh, I know they are. And I, you know, I like, and you know, I like seeking them with a fly rod. It even adds more of a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Hooking them and landing them. But, you know, my friends who go seek bass and they're happy to catch a 3-4 pounder, I can go out and catch a 5, 10, 15 pound carp and have just, and more frequently and have as much fun. And, you know, it's just, but it's the stigma of what they are. And so I enjoy what I enjoy, and you, I know you enjoy it too. So you just got to learn to adjust.
I need to try this again because I was living in a different place at the time, but I started a contest to try to raise the status of carp amongst sports fishermen. And one of the things we did was we were going to rename carp. And my suggestion was Lipsauger. But the guy that won was a guy named Ralph Dreyer near Auburn, Nebraska. And his name came up was Diamondback Grass Trout. And boy, you walk in some place and say you're fishing for Diamondback Grass Trout, and everybody stops and looks. It's like the old Larry, Daryl, and Daryl things, you know. But
I've heard some names that are less polite, and we can't probably bring up today.
Yes.
I like yours. Just leave it at that.
Diamondback Grass Trout. Yeah, walk into where the fisheries guys are and ask them where they stock those in the state. See how many looks you get. Now
I'll scratch your head anyway.
You mentioned fly fishing for carp with fly fishing gear. Have you ever had a chance to try those flies I sent you, my carp flies?
Embarrassingly, no. I found them, actually. I went to tie some flies up this winter, and I had put them in my fly tying box, and that's where they hid. So now I have them out, and I will honestly give them a try this year.
You tell people you're tying flies for carp, and you get that weird look, too, but it's still fun.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Now, I also understand that you've introduced a little bit of fly fishing to your community fishing night, so tell us about that one.
Yeah, we realize that not everybody is a beginner, and there are people who want to learn additional techniques, and fly fishing is kind of one of those aesthetic things that some of even the younger folks have, you know, they're jumping straight into. So we have a lot of good experience with fly fishing clubs across Nebraska. So teaming up with Cornhusker for Fly Fishers and Trout Unlimited, different chapters, we've started doing what we call Discover Fly Fishing. And it's really simple for us. We just invite those, you know, friends, and they're like you and me, out to the community fishing event. And off to the side, we'll set up, you know, demonstrations on how to tie flies and how to fly cast. And so we're getting, we've done this a couple of years. This year we're really doing it. We added five events. And so we're going to see how easily we can expand it. We're getting a lot of good response off of it.
I think fly fishing is just a phenomenal variant of the sport of fishing. And I can't tell you how many years ago I got into that. I grew up on the Gulf Coast and started fly fishing for redfish and tarpon, and then moved inland. Most people think, you're fly fishing that you got to have a mountain stream and all that kind of stuff, but there's some great fly fishing opportunities in Nebraska.
You know, I learned fly fishing on golf course ponds way back when I lived in Missouri, and I had never caught a trout until a couple of years ago when I actually caught some of the stock trout that we do here. But most of the time, 99% of the time, I'm at city lakes across in this area and wherever I go, fishing for bluegill and bass in little city park ponds because they're perfect for fly fishing. You know, they're groomed, they're open, and they have these great populations of
exactly
bluegill and bass. They're great.
Exactly, and the groomed part is an important feature. You don't have a lot of trees right along the shoreline. You don't have to be super careful about your back cast getting tangled up in limbs and stuff. They are perfect for that.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest concern here in Lincoln, actually, is back casting into joggers on the trail behind me. But you catch a few of those, and they're pretty exciting, too. What the heck?
They are. Like I said, I had a buddy come in one time from Utah, and he was quite an accomplished fly fisherman, loved the sport, and that's pretty much all they had where he was around Golden, Utah. And golden trout was what they normally went after. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to try some of the warm water species. Well, you know, here with the interstate lakes and a few ponds I got access to, it was great. But at the end of the day, I took him carp fishing with a fly rod. And the look on his face was less than pleased when I told him what we were going to do. But by the end of the day, he was kept running back to his tackle box to get a new piece of leader because he had broke one off and he had to go get that fish again. mostly what we were using were like Cream Lure Company using their terrestrials, the little bugs that they make. That's what we were flipping at them. Okay. They were having a ball.
I tell people, they say, oh, carp fishing with fly rod, that must be easy. And it's like, no, it's not.
Mm-mm.
It's not. It's sight fishing. You have to be very delicate. They're very spooky. They're smart. You got to match the hatch. It's one of the most complicated fly fishing endeavors that I've, I hate to scare anybody away, but you can catch trout any day, but catching carp is a lot. It dials it up a little bit.
Dr. Keith Jones, who used to be the head of all the bait development at Berkeley, used to come out here every year, and we'd test new power bait. And in one of the years he was out, well, actually several of the years he was out, we were testing power bait for carp for the European market. And he told me once, he said, carp are one of the smartest fish out there. I said, you either catch them or they learn never to bite that particular bait again. And I think he's on it. Man, they're a lot more skilled to catch carp than people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fortunately, we don't have a lot of people that seek them, so the power bait here for carp is called corn. Go get yourself a can of corn, and you got it. And
I don't know
how they learn to eat corn, but they love it.
We, sometime when you're out here and have a chance to spend a day or two, we'll go do that on Lake Maloney. There's a good population there and a couple good spots. And bring your best carp dough recipe. I'll bring mine, and we'll see what we can do.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
Do you have a specific recipe for that? Have you learned one over the years?
Yeah, I've learned one, and I used to be complicated. It used to involve flour and cornmeal and jello and all sorts of sticky stuff. And now it is taking strawberry Kool-Aid, or strawberry Kool-Aid or soda. They can open a can of strawberry soda and put some cornflakes into a baggie and pour enough of that strawberry soda on there just to make them wet. And then through that baggie, you just knead it, knead it, knead it, and you end up with a dough ball, a strawberry dough ball. And you can make as much or as little as you want right on the shoreline, and you don't have to mess any pots and pans up in the kitchen. So that's my favorite. That's my go-to.
That's a good one, and very similar to the recipe I have. An old carp fisherman on the Missouri River, when I used to live down in that part of the state, taught me this one, and it's you pour a box of Wheaties into your blender and pulverize it until it's powder. Also pour in that strawberry Jell-O, mix it in, and he usually had, when we added the moisture to it, kind of liquefied, it was like oatmeal, he'd add in about a teaspoon of anise oil. And then I would take them after that, I'd take them and I would put all the dough into an ice cube tray and then set a small treble hook in it and then freeze them. And then when I got ready to go fish, I'd take the tray with me and go out and fish. And as that thaws out in the water, it leaves a heck of a scent trail and attracts the carp. And hang on. you may catch a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Now I've given you an idea, too. You're going to be out by noon.
I know. I'm like, now what am I going to do? Go bluegill fishing or am I going to go carp fishing today? Now you've complicated my life.
Right? I'm really sorry. Anything else? We've got about a minute and a half left in the show here, Larry. Anything else you want to add about the Community Fishing Nights program or any other fishing aspects?
You know, this last year, COVID has kind of locked us indoors, and so we've really bolstered our website with a lot of information that we're kind of proud of. I just wrote a fish key, and what that means, it's an identification tool that people can use for the most commonly caught fish in Nebraska.
Very nice.
And that means like bass, bluegill, walleye, that kind of thing. But there's a lot of people that can't, you know, they don't know a bass from a walleye, and this gives them the tool to figure that out. And it's online, and it's a, you know, it's a flip PDF, and you can look at it with your mobile. But not only that, but we've added a lot of content online this year because we've had the time to do that. And I really, you know, if you have questions, go online. And if we haven't got it there, ask us and we'll work on it.
Very good. We're run out of time, bud. We could easily fill up another hour if we wanted to, but we're out of time for today. Thank you again for taking the time out of your schedule to be on the show. And keep me posted for when you're going to be out this way, and we'll do a community night, fishing night thing together, and then maybe go get some fishing on our own.
Sounds like a plan, Rick. Thank you much, and thanks for all you do. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.